the folks who don't know, the Free State Project is a movement of voluntary human action where we are trying to concentrate libertarians in the state of New Hampshire.
Free State Project, again, it's 1% of the Free State movement.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, libertarians, anarchists, movers, natives, and those on your way, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Free State Live, where you get to hear about all the ways you can live free and thrive in the Free State of New Hampshire. First and foremost, though, time to welcome everyone back. As always, I'm Justin O'Donnell, former Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate here in New Hampshire, and joining me tonight, we have everyone's crowd favorite, candidate extraordinaire, author, and activist, Queen Quill herself, Carla Garrick. How are you, Carla?
Hi. I have an old school shirt on today. It's Delia's Awesome Jello Shots. I think that one is from Porkfest 2012. And I've been digging through the closet and getting excited about our massive June event that is blowing up for all kinds of reasons.
And also we have Manchester's favorite family man and keyboard warrior extraordinaire, Kevin from the internet. How are you, Kevin?
Hey, I'm here. I'm hanging out. So I don't have cool Porkfest shirts. I'm surrounded by gun parts, to be quite honest with you.
My God. I got to the range this weekend for the first time in such an embarrassingly long time that I am not going to say how long.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And it was good. Like, I had to be like, remind me where the safety, you know, like it was bad.
It hasn't been that long. But
we went in, just a bunch of ladies, Free Stater ladies. There's a club out here in Manchester. So it's literally like 15 minutes from the house. No one else was there. It was very sort of strangely peaceful, if you'll believe it. And it was nice to get out there and get some practice in.
Oh, yeah. A bunch of my buddies got out this weekend. I was home with the chonk. So I did do a bunch of gardening. Everything's going great, which is just awesome. Fun to me. So.
Yeah, it's spring in New Hampshire. We're doing all the stuff. Blowing things up, planting stuff, feeding chickens, feeding children, having babies. I guess we had a new porcupine come over the weekend. So that is a baby porcupine. It's a porcupine.
I always forget that. And I'm
that
assuming
joins
somebody should.
The prickle, which is a family of porcupines. So home birth, 12-pound baby. Oh, awesome. Wow. Awesome news.
Dang, 12 pounds. That's
I was like, girl, I'm glad it's not your first one.
Yeah, for real. That's a big boy.
We're going to need those votes if we ever want to pass the session.
You will need votes to pass the session, for sure. It's an interesting topic. I mean, this is one I've seen pop up in only a few other places in like around the country. Texas and California have little groups. I know Texit and Calexit. So it's kind of interesting to see our own version of that taking place.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly going to move the Overton window. So let's watch the show and see what people have to say about it.
Here we go. And we finally got Bill.
Hey. I don't have headphones, so let me know if I'm making everything echo.
All right. Well, you're just in time for the show.
Great.
Perfect.
Should New Hampshire peaceably declare its independence from the U.S. federal government? Some believe that this is a laughable question. Do they fear the answer?
It's hard to not have your voice be heard. I don't believe that a country of 330 million people should be managed and governed by an organization in Washington, D.C.
Trump didn't save us. Biden didn't save us. They're making it worse. No one's going to save us.
As things get bad, as gas goes to $5 and $10 and inflation is now at 8%, it's probably more like 20%. As people get frustrated with the leadership of their government, it's causing people to kind of look around and say, hey, maybe there's a different way. More importantly, work together to create a community, a state, that we live according to our philosophy.
Speaking of, because we're supposed to be commenting, right? Like, let's not forget that. Fair use every 3 minutes. Yak, yak, yak. All right. So, state capital, which is in Concord, New Hampshire. Today, they took down, I don't even know how I feel about this yet, but like, so these for folks back home, these little things are, they're all over the state and they kind of brag about the awesome stuff that is all over New Hampshire. Sometimes you'll see things and you'll be like, what? We used to have private highways. Yeah. All the roads were private turnpikes. Who's going to build the roads? We will. Ha ha. Anyway, so today they took one of those down because they put one up like 2 weeks ago. Celebrating an actual convicted insurrectionist and card-carrying commie. And everyone was like, what? No, that's not what we want to be celebrating. And
I actually don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, no way, man. I agree. If they put it up for free and there's no one stopping me from sawzalling it down myself on a Sunday night, then then put up all the signs you want, bro.
Well, at the same time, the person they were celebrating, though, sure, she was a communist, but she was also one of the leading anti-government activists in New Hampshire at the time. And she was also a known anarchist who fought for the abolition of the state and against it. Like at that time, that was an idea that was kind of relegated to just the left and to just communists in that kind of political sphere. And she had a lot of good work that she did. And to me, condemning her just because she's a communist is just right. Like it discredits all of the good work she might have done and that she did do as an activist and as a historical figure in political landscape of New Hampshire. And it kind of goes back to McCarthyism for me to like condemn that just because of her political.
So maybe someone should start a movement and we should put up a sign somewhere celebrating the Free State Project, right?
I agree with you, Justin,
that I did think, I didn't like when they put it up, but I was actually genuinely shocked today when I was like, what? They took it down too? Yeah. Like that didn't seem right. Well,
perhaps so that's a sign that people are listening. You know, if there was enough outrage, I don't know. You know, I don't know how upset people were, but maybe that's just a sign of people listening. Like, wow, people got really upset when we put the sign up, so we're taking it down because the people have spoken. I have no idea.
Well, but it's sort of, I mean, to sort of the examples we've seen recently, it's kind of like, you know, people screaming about taking down Confederate stuff, right? Down south and stuff. Oh, we're taking down monuments. It doesn't mean because something exists in history that we should pretend it doesn't. In fact, the opposite is true.
Yes.
Like I was thinking about it the other day in Germany, it's illegal to talk about Nazism. And I was like, oh, you know how you get Nazism in Germany? Yes, stop talking about it because those guys like trains to run on time. Like they need to be reminded.
There used to be a story of an old lady in Germany who from the 1960s to the 1990s spent pretty much her entire life doing a rotation of 2-year sentences for publicly praising Hitler because she would get out of prison, call a press conference, and immediately press conference and get arrested on her way out.
Man, so this is the thing. This is why we need free speech, because life is more interesting when a lunatic wants to praise Hitler and go to jail constantly for that. That is a better world.
It's an interesting form of civil disobedience.
It's insane, but hey, you know, who isn't a little?
Now they can just do it on Twitter.
All right.
That's where I go from now.
I thought Governor Sununu said the best way, though. He's like, when crazy comes knocking at the door, you slam it shut. My name is Representative Brody DeShays. I'm running for re-election in Wolfborough and Tufton Borough, which is Carroll County's 6th district.
Notably, he did not win.
Yes.
Really involved in the process and elected and representing like a community of thousands of people. They're going to be surprised. They're going to say, you don't look like what I kind of expect. I love Wolfboro. It's my home.
It's a great town.
I plan on dying here and being buried in the South Wolfboro Cemetery. So that's how I feel about Wolfboro. It's my pride and joy.
I love the cowboy music.
When I think of cowboys,
something that was very interesting this year was a number of constitutional amendments put forward. And I read it and I was like, this is insane. A movement like a secessionist movement, it doesn't support our U.S. Constitution. It actually is a direct affront to it. And I don't think it supports our values in New Hampshire or in America.
Okay, can I just say one thing? America was born from secession. So
that's true.
New Hampshire was the first state to secede.
the Pine Tree riot would definitely be a shot fired.
Yeah, New Hampshire was born from secession too. I mean, New Hampshire's actually got a part of it that was an independent state at one stage.
Again, like I said, I'd represent the nullification squad on maybe like a path to achieve some of the same goals, or maybe the ultimate same goal of secession through nullification, like in baby steps kind of strategy. But again, the reframing or some of those concepts is just silly to think that that's not possible, or something that's within our own history is, you know, that's just not true, especially for the people on Twitter screaming about why'd you cut my sign down about the communists and forgetting history. It's like, yeah, don't forget the history of New Hampshire. You can look back and see examples of this taking place and then bearing great results from that as well.
Right. And I thought it was interesting his choice of words, like, oh, I read this bill and this is insane. Right. And I'm like, but, you know, in the turn of the century from the 18th to the 19th century, there were about 70 countries. At the turn of the last century, there were about, I think, 200, you know, over 200 countries. So decentralization is actually on trend. So it's actually not insane. What is insane is to say that 300 million people have to think the same way. And even crazier than that is every 4 years, we are going to whip you from this one extreme to this other extreme. And somehow that is presented to us like it's normal.
Imagine looking at all of Europe and thinking that there's just like one person in charge of all of it, and then think, well, that's America.
Right. Well, I mean,
well, to an extent, you can,
I mean,
geographically
from the EU.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thought. If you look at Europe, it's a bunch of smaller countries, right? There's a bunch of countries that are the size of states, like U.S.
Liechtenstein.
It's also a much older region. You know, all those countries are older, and the countries that came before them are even older. So if you look at North America, South America, it's a lot of younger nations. So it is possible that there's fractionalizing to be done here and it'd be a more efficient system. I don't know. But the U.S. is very large. It seceded from Britain, what, 250 years ago? Canada seceded from Britain. I don't know exactly what time. Mexico was part of Spain. I mean, like,
Canada's still part of Canada's England there, honey. It's just, she's part of the Commonwealth.
Well, Europe's not even done fractionalizing. Like, there's still active secessionist movements in Catalonia.
Yeah, Catalonia.
Italy and Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales. Like, there are still active secessionist movements trying to get for more localized government in Europe, in the old countries that have had thousands of more years to settle and form.
Right. So definitionally, we disagree with Brody's assessment that it is insane. It is historically entirely on par with normalcy.
Yeah.
It's just...
Or else we'd all be speaking Latin and worshiping Caesar.
My Latin's rusty, honey.
What would that look like if New Hampshire were to secede in your eyes?
I would say paradise. Well, I'm the president of the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. I'm officially big on independence. I'm Alu Axelman. I just finished a book 4 or 5 weeks ago. I published Presumed Guilty. 5 books total about freedom now, all about liberty stuff and how I don't trust the government. I still hate the people.
I think he's up to like 9.
I have that book right over here.
At least 7 or 8. Maybe it is 9.
I don't like politics. Nobody does. But I like keeping my own money. When they steal half my money, that'll get my attention. But the biggest taxes are the federal income tax. They take 25% of my money every year. That's a lot of money. Almost every single problem stems from D.C. So if there's one thing we could do to fix all these issues, it's sever ties with D.C.
We have a secession movement here in New Hampshire. It's a pretty large one.
The first war of secession.
I'm working on it politically, and I'm hoping that we're successful. I think we're pretty close.
Honestly, I don't think New Hampshire will secede. Well, I mean, like, I want it to because I want to be president of New Hampshire.
I'm going to open up the Constitution Amendment on Resolution 32, and it's in the state peaceably declares independence from the United States and proceeds as a sovereign nation.
While the people reserve to themselves the right to revolution in Part First, Article 10, we are here today to head off any consideration of anything but a peaceful formation of a new government.
Just to point out there, though, if you do look at the history of revolutions and secession in Europe and even in South America, when they're not allowed to happen peacefully, they inevitably happen violently.
It doesn't end well. It's true.
Yeah, and it's I just want to mention, sorry, I was scrolling here to get to it. This Article 10 of the New Hampshire Constitution, I'm just going to read it for folks who don't know what it is, but it's the right of revolution is enshrined in the New Hampshire Constitution. And it says, government being instituted for the common benefit, protection, and security of the whole community, and not for the private interest or emolument of any one man, family, or a class of men. Therefore, whenever the ends of government are perverted and public liberty manifestly endangered, and all other means of redress are ineffectual, the people may and of right ought to reform the old and establish a new government. The doctrine of non-resistance against arbitrary power and oppression is absurd, slavish, and destructive to the good and happiness of mankind.
They thought about all this stuff a lot more than we did.
And yeah, that's basically like, we won't take your crap. And it says it right there in our founding documents. Yes.
It was a part and parcel with all of this stuff. And I haven't taught history in a long time, but if I remember, a part of why New Hampshire wasn't one of the first states to sign the U.S. Constitution was because they held out for some of those concessions to say, this is a really great idea, but if it doesn't end up working out, we can go our own way. And that's simple enough. There's only 13 colonies. So like, if this doesn't work, us in South Carolina have some stuff in common, but we have snow and they don't. So like, different places, we're going to do things a different way. Well, we didn't have plantations. Yeah, whole different place, right? Very different. And they understood that and they gave themselves an out. It's a back door for your code. It's however you want to look at it. It's a way to kind of access this and then say, maybe it's not working the way I want it to work. And that's what Article 10 is functionally in the New Hampshire State Constitution.
It's my favorite piece of law ever written.
It's very interesting.
A rule from Washington, D.C.
The last thing I'd want to see is something like a secession movement.
Then there's this dude.
I'm 33. I don't know anybody younger than maybe 60 who still reads a newspaper like that.
No, dude. No.
Okay, I do, but it was for two reasons. One is when I finally bought my house, I was like, that feels like a grown-up thing to do. I've been waiting forever. I should like do that. And also, it's a way to keep off your screen, actually. So it is like an old lady hack. Okay, F you.
Voters to leave the Republican Party because they don't view the Republican Party as a legitimate party. When I saw this, I was like, this is a bridge too far and someone needs to fight it. And, you know, I took it upon myself.
Everyone in this room knows the federal government is far from perfect.
Is he just reading the ads? Is that just like the market basket? That's the flyer? That's dope, yo.
He's like, inflation is bad. What coupons do we have at Market Basket so that I don't have to pay $4 million for a dozen eggs?
The Market Basket circular might be the most important thing published by mainstream media outlets.
It's certainly the only thing I look for in a newspaper. So.
Right. Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Anarchists.
Voters are going to decide whether or not they think their vision and their goals are worthy of being implemented in state.
We can't, as legislators, we can't push forward unconstitutional legislation.
Where I think we're genuinely misunderstood is that we are actually trying to fix and reform problems.
Face it, Granite Staters are abused by DC. What do we advise victims to do when they're abused?
And people don't want to hear it.
We tell them to leave.
That's a good phrase.
Which means we have the right to ask for a divorce.
And people don't actually want to look in the mirror and go, oh my God, this is actually what's going on.
I forgot about the free stater thing. How many out here are all free staters?
They want to.
Might not have been the best move for us all to raise our hands down.
Yeah. No, I know. My head exploded. So I felt, I take the blame for that. I think because I said at the start of my testimony that I was like, oh, you know, and something free staters, I was fronting, and Al knows me, we know each other, we hang, and I think he was just kind of like, oh, and I was like, I literally, what was going through my mind is, oh God, don't put your hands up. Like, it just seemed really obvious to me that no one should put their hands up. And when I turned to look back, I was like, half the room were not free staters. And I was like, why is your hand up? Yeah. And I thought, well, that's a win too, right? Because it means that everyone's like, yeah, I stand for this. And if the brand of, you know, and not categorically, not every free stater is pro secession.
I just love the image of it from this perspective in the screenshot. Like, the only one not raising their hand you can see is actually Representative Wheeler.
Is that the dude with the mask?
One of the leaders of the Young Democrats. And he's actually one of the more libertarian-leaning Democrats in the House, and he's an ally on a lot of issues and helps out a lot, too. And I just found it hilarious. He just turned around like, oh, I am surrounded.
I feel like it did hurt the impression of the legislators. I think that sort of made it feel very fringe to them. So, you know, it that definitely was not great. But honestly, if the optics of it are, you know, people are willing to say they're a free stater, that's okay too.
Well, but like, think about this. What difference should it make? People show up. They're people of New Hampshire. They live here. Whether they moved here or didn't move here, why should he care?
Or after Sandra Rice Hawkins.
What difference does it make if they're free staters? Do they not deserve representation? You know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And a part of it in terms of thinking, like, in terms of, like, American Revolution and, like, some of the press, if you're going to cite this, look at it like a law, legal case, right? Like, the precedent that has been set. It's not like the Sons of Liberty were 3 million guys, right? This was a small percentage of the population angry about a 3% tax on tea. That was enough to start the rumblings and the interventions that took place in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, that led to an ultimate revolution between all 13 colonies. This was an evolutionary step because what they were doing in the North disseminated out, and then people heard about what was going on. And then they looked around at their own community and they realized, like you said in your soundbite there, Carla, maybe I am being abused. Maybe this is, if reframed, an abusive relationship. Maybe I don't have an out. Maybe I don't have a way to leave this system. Whether it's secession, whether it's nullification, I think both of those groups of people would agree on a lot of common goals, which is ironic because, like you said, Justin, is that in there is a Democrat who agrees with us on some topics or will support us on bills where there is crossover, immigration, drugs, and stuff. Yeah. And that's where people lose the nuance, or like you said, maybe turning around and seeing that many hands up doesn't look good optically, because then you lose that ability to have that conversation because they see it as fringe. We're founded on these ideals.
The other thing too is, again, like I've pointed, every time we've talked about secession, I've always pointed out it's not a unilateral top-down free stater idea pro secession. Almost that entire room was self-identifying as free staters. But like 30% of the people testified against the bill.
Yeah, I mean, a free stater testified against the bill. It was hilarious. I mean, this is the thing, and this is the thing, if I can get it through everyone's skulls. Free staters, unlike any other group, is not monolithic. We're individuals, so different people think different ways. And in fact, the free stater who testified against it, you know, he came over afterwards and he was kind of like, man, I hope you'll still talk to me. And I was like, no. And then I saw him at a cocktail party 3 days later and we hung, right? So, you know, we've always said this is a experiment. That is how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to take the ideas and try different things. And so this is one of those things. Porcupine.
Kurt, I'm gonna make.
I'm
some
not reading that out loud.
I am going to make those patches.
The latest, and it. Say it's, oh, it's my the free diary. Staters, but like I've lived here for 14
Yellow
years
right
now. I'm
too.
A granite stater. Like, I'm not out to do anything other than to like be a good neighbor.
Even if you're against independence, even if you're in favor of the empire and favor of continuing the union, you should vote in favor to ought to pass this bill to let the people of New Hampshire decide. Because if you think it's a terrible idea to leave, surely you think the people of New Hampshire agree with you. And so therefore they would vote it down if it came to their vote in November. What should be afraid of?
That always needs to be clarified. What the actual bill was, because
thank you, Bill.
Yeah. Nobody clarifies this.
Well, it's not a clarification on what the bill is. It's a clarification on how a constitutional amendment works in New Hampshire. There's two different ways to amend the Constitution. The first is by calling a constitutional convention, which we have the option to do once every 10 years at the general election. Or the legislature can pass it by 2/3 of both houses, but then it still doesn't take effect until getting two-thirds vote on the – is it 2/3 or 60%? I can't remember.
I think it's 2/3 in the House, and it's 67 and 60.
Yeah.
I forget which one is which
one. So it's 60%. It's not even a 50% majority have to vote in favor during the election to ratify the amendment. It's 60%.
Okay, so
actually, the thing about New Hampshire that is interesting is constitutional amendments do pass here. If they're short – and they make sense. People like them. So we, in the 14 years I've been here, I think at least two or three have passed. And so part of the fear really is that people are like, we don't want to put this question in front of the voters. And I actually did at the end of my testimony, I said to the Democrats on the committee, I said, if you are a Democrat who has tweeted the words democracy matters ever, then you have to vote in favor of this bill to put the question to the voters of New Hampshire. You don't have the right to gatekeep a question this important. Like, it should go to the voters. Right. And that is the issue that we should press on for anyone who's interested in this issue. It should be, maybe we get voted down. We probably will, to be honest. I mean, even Scotland, who's been talking about this stuff way longer, you know, it didn't pass, but
sure. But what happens when it gets voted down by it still gets 25% voting in favor?
Then you start a movement, and then in 10 years, we're independent. That's exactly the roadmap.
Yeah.
So,
not that there's a plan, there's no plan.
In 2017, we realized that there were over a dozen Free State Project members running for local office who were out loud and actively organizing for secession. So we published this report.
Their website is so
outdated.
This
has always been a part of the Free State Project.
Not advertising for secession, advertising for a constitutional amendment to ask the people if they wanted to stay a part of Washington or to separate from Washington. So just that's never framed clearly in this. Keep that in mind.
Well, the particular constitutional amendment that was being suggested was to put the immediate question of secession on the ballot. Yeah. Me personally, I would love to see a constitutional amendment that put the question on secession on the ballot every 10 years henceforth.
Oh, interesting. Cool. That's cool.
Here they are actively organizing for secession, and they are on your local ballot.
Secession is part of the grand plan, is it not, for the Free State?
It is not, but some New Hampshire residents, including some libertarians and some Free Staters, support New Hampshire independence. I do not personally, so some Free Staters also oppose New Hampshire independence. So it's a debate that goes on within the movement. My dissertation was on secessionist movements or movements for autonomy and independence around the world. Sorry. In my initial essay,
that's not the story I would want to tell. your book on?
My thesis in college was changing the Massachusetts prison system to allow for early educational programming for inmates that had successfully served any portion of their sentence without committing a violent crime. So nonviolent drug offenders should get early and easy access to educational information in jails. I've never been to prison. I never work in prisons. So you can write a secession thing and not be a secessionist.
Sure.
My thesis in college was about why individual counties and localized governments needed a centralized emergency management organization to manage resources on behalf of people in the times of a crisis. Looking back, I don't agree with a single thing I wrote, but I wrote it 10 plus years ago.
Maybe yeah, actually, I mean, that goes to that point about the conquered communists too, right? Like we have to be able to, as humans, give people grace to not be perfect in every moment. If you're not evolving in your thinking over time one way or the other, then, you know, then you're static and you're not actually growing. So, you know, Jason's allowed, I mean, his book, which I own, which he signed for me, you know, is, it's a historic look at secession movement. So, you know, it doesn't, as you say, mean he's a secessionist. I just find it comically funny.
It is.
Because that is not how I, you know, it's not the story I would want to tell the press.
The juxtaposition is not without some irony there.
Yeah.
Proposed that the state could use the possibility of secession as leverage to get more powers back from the federal government. However, in the follow-up essay I wrote 2 weeks later, I backed away from that and said, well, this idea shouldn't be a part of the Free State Project as an organization or as a movement. And so it really was never part of the Free State Project.
House will come to order. The motion before us is the tabling motion on CACI 32.
We have this legislation in front of us. It is a bill to destroy the United States. We are considering legislation to take a star off of that flag.
No. This is very important. Puerto Rico or DC, we will give you our star.
You can have it, bro.
We don't have to change one flag. DC can get statehood. It's all good. We'll do the pine tree or the Granite State Republic flag, and it's all good.
Although, I will say one of the best things Granite State Progress has done ever was start circulating that little cartoon of the porcupine eating the star out of the flag.
Oh, that's
I forgot that one.
It's good. I mean, and this is to this guy that's talking who seems really angry. I hope Trump wins, and then I get to DM this dude and be like, yo, how's that non-secessionist movement going for the next 4 years?
Maybe he'll jump on board.
That's exactly what would it's fascinating how quick those winds change with some of these people.
Yep.
Beyond shameful, it is beyond disgraceful, and it is a stain on the proud history of the state that we even have to entertain this. A vote for this, is really close to the federal definition of treason. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
I've been accused of worse.
The House will be in order.
This bill has no one in the chamber voting directly on secession. It asks them only to allow those we purport to represent to make their own decisions.
This is a historic moment, not just in the state of New Hampshire, but it's a historic moment in America. This is the first time a legislative body has debated and will vote upon binding secession. It will be the first one debated since prior to the Civil War. It's a terrible thing to do to our constituents, a terrible thing to do to Granite Staters.
And something that, like, you know, I probably didn't do enough of when I was a history teacher is so, like, secession doesn't mean slavery. I don't know where the people that hear secession go to, oh, American Civil War, slavery in the South. You guys are Confederates. You guys just want to get rid of laws so you can have slaves. I've literally talked to people that have said that. And then I start off with, like, I'm a nullification guy. What are you talking about? How did you make the leap?
Well,
there?
that's pure propaganda and neural programming. 100%. It's a story that's been told a million times. Yep. I mean, the same story could be said. It's like, well, the bill said peaceful. I mean, it was like right there,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
None of these people ever mentioned that. And the bill was literally just letting people decide for themselves. So it was totally mischaracterized from the start. And I think that's going to come back and bite them in the butt because Granite Staters don't like being lied to. And they'd much rather be like, you know what? I would rather have voted on that and been like, no, I'm keeping my star, you know?
My favorite part is when people like Brody Deshaies and others get up and say the idea of talking about this or considering it is unconstitutional. It, usually my comeback is like, yes, exactly. But the whole point is we're opting to no longer be bound by that constitution.
Sure. It's just one of those things that's frustrating to me.
I mean, it's not actually unconstitutional because the 14th Amendment says the rights are remain in the state. And there are people who can explain it better. And I don't actually think it serves us to geek out on the technicalities of that. I'm like, you know what? It could be entirely illegal. If we decide we want to do something new, we try it. Why not?
It's scary going first. Yes, but to the people, I just am fascinated with that obsession between the Civil War and secession, and mentioning that here in the United States, it's as if that can't exist in a different context, like you said, a peaceful context.
And it's always the people who they're literally like, no, there will be violence. And I'm like, well, we want to do it peacefully. So if someone's bringing violence to the table, it's not us. And if you're coming here to punch me in the face, then can I explain again why I would like a divorce, please?
Right. Well, when the violent people see the world through violent means. So that's what I say
for
to
us
that guy.
Is the ITL motion on CACR 32. 323 voting yay, 13 voting nay. Committee report is adopted.
Unfortunately, the state reps did not see the wisdom in asking the people what they thought, and they killed the bill.
The bill failed, thankfully, and it just shows how extreme and how serious they are.
I think that secession is going to continue to come back because it's an idea whose time has come.
Hi, Manchester, and welcome back to the Carla Garrick Show. It's episode 30, and I'm delighted that you are joining me here today.
Now, did the NBC people make comments about your doormat like the Boston press reporters did?
Yes, everyone does enjoy the doormat. The doormat now heavily features in most press stories. I do like to bring them to the house because I do think it just helps people be like, oh, you know, you hear people like Zandra say, extremist. And it's like, well, would you like to come to my house and see my chickens and my pretty wildflowers and my weird doormat?
Was it a Globe article or some other Boston paper that wrote like your threatening doormat and your scary dog?
Yeah, I mean, the Globe said that. The New York Times, the New York Magazine one time said, yeah, so it's really interesting because they will couch it as sort of very scary, right? Like it's like, oh, come back with a warrant. But, you know, it's actually a legal protection. There are lawsuits that say having that at your house, if they raid you without a warrant, then, you know, that's actually, you've given them prior notice. And also, I will tell you, normal people, just muggles, love it. I have had people deliver stuff at my house and come back if they see me in the window, stop the car, run to the front door, ring the doorbell and go, I love your doormat, and run away.
Yeah. We've written it in chalk in the street in giant letters. And our neighbors think it's kind of funny and don't care. So.
The latest critics have their little knickers in a knot about secession. I have news for you. Secession, talk of independence, talk of reform, saying our government sucks and that we need to do something about it is about as American as you can get. So there's this lady, her name is Karen. I mean, she is a literal Karen.
Sorry, Karen.
I grew up in Minnesota, and I went to the University of Minnesota.
It's fantastic that they introduced her with that clip. I mean, it's like,
you're a mover.
She's probably not happy about it, but I've seen people on the internet refer to her as literal Karen, and nobody questions who they're referring to.
So I don't know. Like, again, I'm going to have to sit down and rewatch the entire series closely. Is there a single person they talk to who's a native?
No, I don't think so. Actually,
me, Kevin.
Yeah, me.
Me.
Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So the only natives they talk to are Free Staters.
Yes.
There you go, man. Bill Marsh, is he from here?
No, I think he moved here. I think he said he moved in the 80s or something. I stand to be corrected, but.
Or Brody. I forgot about Brody. But, you know, he doesn't count.
I weigh as much as two of him.
So we've been here 18 years to the day.
And so now I have an orchard of 20 different fruit trees. I have two colonies, two beehives.
Oh, we should call that
chickens,
apple guy.
Three dogs and four cats.
She's living a life most Free Staters want.
Yeah, no.
I'm like, I have a lot in common with her.
Remember how you can call that guy from the state and then he'll go inspect any apple tree that's on your property? What's this lady's name again? Discord
Karen
guys?
Steele, I believe.
Word.
This is Pi. No matter where I go out, if I come out to go in the garden or in the orchard, she always comes to find me. I was just blown away that we could have any secession bill, that was just crazy and insane. I believe those 14 New Hampshire representatives violated the Constitution, and per sections 1 and 3 of the 14th Amendment, they shouldn't be allowed to hold office.
So today's hearing is at 1 p.m. It's up at the State Archives. When I'm done shooting this, I will be heading out. My prediction is this is a big nothing burger and it's just gonna go away.
So can I say, because they, well, let's not like pulls on my ass, let it go on. Sorry. But that was such a hard drive, right? Because so that day I was mic'd for 6 hours by NBC.
Oof.
And damn. They actually, when we were leaving to go to the hearing, they originally said they were going to follow me in their car. And then when I got into my car, Shira jumped into my car with me. And I was like, oh, and I started driving and she took out two cell phone cameras and she started recording me. And, you know, this is not my first rodeo. And I was like, oh, girl, put on your big girl pants, because this is when they're going to start asking the hard questions. I'm distracted. The GPS is on. I'm driving.
Ah, interesting.
And she's asking the questions. And, I mean, it all went okay. And so I was like, okay, out of all of the things, this was not the worst, right? But she did ask me, she's like, why do you want to, you know, why are you pushing for this? And I was like, you know, when I was a little girl, so my dad was a diplomat and I actually spent time in America when I was very small. So I was like 3 or 4. And someone asked me, like they do when you're little, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, I'm going to be president of America. And the person was like, you can't, because you're an immigrant.
I've been born.
And I was like, huh. And I remembered that. And now I'm like, well, technically you're right. So I'm going to solve this problem and make my own country.
That's what the whole thing is about, everybody. This whole thing is just to get Carla that childhood dream. That's what we all work for every day.
What can I say, man? I'm very goal driven. I set my mind to something and I do it.
That is
true. Good morning. The bill failed in the House, but we had a great discussion, great debate. And now, like 3 weeks before the Republican primary, a citizen filed a complaint with the Ballot Law Commission to throw the people off the ballot for proposing this bill.
Insurrection does not have to be violent. Any effort for...
She's right there.
A state to secede from the U.S. is
actually
a violation.
She's not right. And the AG's office categorically at that meeting said insurrection must be violent. Words are not insurrection. And the AG of New Hampshire is on the record for that.
A Democratic vote certainly isn't violent, if that's what you're asking. Like, yeah. But again, like I said, this is somebody who would have you face the wall. I think if given the option, and these people at their base, that's exactly who they are. They view the world through a lens of achieving what they want through violence, and they struggle to see a system in which it could be achieved peacefully.
And I mean, think about it, just actually going and being like, I don't think these people should be able to be on the ballot. That's also like super undemocratic. I mean, when you break out the pieces of how they're approaching this, it's like, don't really have a leg to stand on.
If the purest form of being on the ballot and run for office is a pretty fundamentally difficult right to lose. Like I saw somebody breaking it down, like Trump, with all of his charges and everything that he's facing, even if convicted, could possibly lose his right to vote, but not to run for office.
Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe that guy's running. America's awesome.
He tried to run as a libertarian, and then a guy named Dan Smotz called him a coward until he decided he was going to run as a Democrat. Legendary. Shout out to Dan Smotz.
Bullying works, maybe?
...of the U.S. Constitution. It is both the Commission's authority, responsibility, and obligation to find that these 14 New Hampshire state representatives who have taken an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution be ineligible to hold office in the state of New Hampshire.
I felt honored to be attacked.
Where in the New Hampshire Constitution does it say that you can't secede?
It doesn't.
It says you can, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Just being kind of an amateur politician, I'm Matthew Santanostaso. I'm honored that some people think that as a one first term legislator, I'm such a threat to the establishment that they would attempt to bar me from re-election. It was a political attack is what it was. There's no way that anybody could reasonably believe that that complaint would go anywhere.
So you weren't worried about it today?
No, I wasn't even gonna go, but some people were coming here, some of my friends, so I figured I'd come and say hi to them.
I move that we dismiss this complaint.
The last look at Karen bringing cancel culture to Congress.
Poor Karen.
That's all they have.
Thank you very much for your time.
A waste of time.
I don't see Wednesday's ruling as a loss. I see it as I was in the wrong place. I need to find the right place. I need to bring my compelling evidence and my petition to the people who do have jurisdiction.
So the right place is at the ballot box, Karen. And that is the issue, right? Like, she's like, oh, now I'm going to try and run around and go to the courts and to the whatever. If this is a question, it's a question for the voters of New Hampshire. Like, we can't even, like, you can't be a gatekeeper and go, no one's allowed to talk about the things I don't want to, like, have people talk about. Like, imagine, like, I'm pro-life, right? Like, imagine I just start being like, anyone who's, like, pro-choice cannot run for office. That is entirely... And frankly, it's not in the friggin' Constitution. I probably have a better leg to stand on, frankly.
You so, would in that regard. You know? Yes.
I don't know.
Well, I'm saying in terms of constitutional, if you're using precedent and setting things in that framework, you could make a really compelling argument.
No.
Whereas this chick just looks angry.
I think this is a first salvo, and if it's a first salvo, I'm going to say we won.
The real victory is that people who had no idea about the Free State Movement, people who had no idea that there are state representatives who are planning for secession, they are now learning. I'm shining sunlight on some of the dark stuff that is happening.
Thank
Actually,
you so
you're
much.
Shining sunlight on the things that are literal bills in front of our legislature. Yeah.
Thanks. I literally use it as marketing for us, so I hope she does twice as much.
Yeah, and... You know, so there was a survey that was done shortly around when this vote took place. And in that survey, which was a professionally done survey, it was like a, you know, we paid good money kind of thing. 52% of New Hampshire GOP, so Republican New Hampshire card-carrying Republicans, 52% of the respondents in that poll said they would secede that day. So, and the Democrat number was low. It was in the 20s somewhere, but it was not like, oh, this is like, no, a hard no.
More importantly, 52% were willing to admit to a pollster on a recorded line.
They
endorse the source.
True.
Right. So really the thing is people are afraid of this question because they are actually afraid of either reactionary, you know, people just get mad and they're like, oh, we're going to stick it to the man. But there are a lot of compelling reasons why this could be something to look at more seriously. I do personally think this was a very aggressive first salvo. It got attention. I don't think people were prepared for it. You know that because based on the questions you hear and stuff. Yeah. but it is the start of a conversation. And this conversation will seem insane, in Brody's words, if I'm wrong about the federal government, and if I'm wrong about de-dollarization, and if I'm wrong about wars, and if I'm wrong about economic collapse, and if I'm wrong about, you know, most of the things that I've been right about the past, you know, 52 years. So if I'm wrong, I will eat crow. But I'm going to assume things are going to get worse, that the yoke of the federal government is going to become tighter around our necks, and that it will become a more compelling and interesting conversation that has to be had, because your neighbors have to agree about this. Like, it's like, I only, if it's going to be peaceful, then your neighbor has to be like, yeah, I'm on board. I'm okay with keeping 30% of my money and not murdering foreigners for no good reason.
Yeah. And that's where, I mean, to the other side is, like I said, is I'm a bit more on Jason's side, maybe, with the nullification stuff. But again, I think, I mean, my goals in terms of that perspective, and I've talked to Alu, I've talked to the people that are in there, I'm at events, I've talked to all you guys, is I want to achieve a lot of the same goals, if not the ultimate same goal, as the secessionist movement or secessionists here in the Free State Project or New Hampshire. But it's saying, here's the optics, and here's how I can explain to a normie or my neighbor a path to doing that, that maybe they'll understand, that we've all sat down in the rooms and had these conversations and had our, I mean, the Bill and Carla, the last time I saw you guys, we literally were having like, you bring some IQ points to this conversation. You've better read some books and know what you're talking about. And I think that the nullification strategy for a lot of Free Staters is simply saying, hey, I want the same things as secession. Here's how I can take little bites out of that apple and then get to the same core, you know, achieve that same goal. And I think
That's entirely valid. I think what's exciting is there is now a nullification caucus at the State House. It has, I think, 11 or 14 members. So, and you know, some of the people were voted out. Some of the people got in. Brody didn't get voted in again. So, you know, it doesn't seem like there was really anything we learned about, you know, what the appetite of the voter is for this. But I see all of this as another example of, we're not sure what the right approach is. I'm someone who, you know, I'm a trained lawyer, so I understand anchors are important. So secession is, of course, like the most extreme anchor you put on the one end, right? And so then it starts to be a conversation where we're talking, is it nullification? And we know, because we did it with cannabis laws, that nullification can work. So if we start to look at other sectors, finance, energy, things that will benefit Granite Staters, there is no reason, as far as I can ascertain, corruption, as to why New Hampshire has such high energy costs. We have a nuclear reactor.
I don't know
what's going on, but we got to fix that. And maybe nullification is the answer. If you make your neighbors, if you put $1,000 in your neighbor's pocket over, you know, over Christmas, over the winter, they're going to be like, yeah, this seems like a better option than DC. What's DC doing for any of us?
So, I mean, part of the problem is that our nuclear power plant in New Hampshire sends most of its power to Maine and Massachusetts.
That's what I was right about to say, is build two more and sell it to everybody. And then you become an energy exporter. And if that's what you're going for, you can nullify and still sell.
And that I think is part of the plan. I think it's also important for our viewers to understand, much like everything with the Free State Project movement, when you're trying to lock things down, is there a lot of moving parts, right? So even in the independence movement, and I personally prefer the word independence, I think it denotes something that can have a much larger scope. So it could be independence from the state, but it can also be independence that you're claiming for yourself through self-empowerment and, you know, self growth and self-ownership and all of that. But, you know, so there's the hardcore secessionists. There are people who believe in nullification. There are PACs that support candidates. There's a foundation that is a 501c3 that accepts donations, the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. They're doing educational outreach. I serve on their board. There's journalists that are specifically looking at issues just to do with this. So the point is, it's like there are already, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 organizations or different approaches or different ways of looking at it, from the economic to what would the borders look like? Could we do economic zones? Like, do I lose my social security? No, you don't. You know what? A lot of Americans live in Mexico. They still all get their checks. So again, you know, most of the things when people start to think about them that seem like roadblocks are surmountable, easily dealt with issues if there's an appetite to honestly come to the table and to broker a real deal. So I don't think for anyone who's, you know, hearing these ideas and has responses like Brody and Karen, where they're like, oh, this is insane, this is terrifying, this means war, this is scary, I understand all of that. But the crux of the matter is, ultimately, it's not that scary. It's happened hundreds of times in history. It can happen again, and it's not going to be a surprise if it does.
So yeah. Another point to come back to the power thing, the expensive electricity in New Hampshire is a relatively new phenomenon. Like, for years, we had very cheap electricity. I had entire summers where my electric bill was $20 for 3 months running an air conditioner. What changed is politicians in Massachusetts and Vermont chose to shut down their nuclear power plants, and it affected the New Hampshire grid.
Oh, interesting. So
while New Hampshire is part of the United States and subject to the whims of politicians in other states, it affects the quality of life for people here.
But Massachusetts just did that during COVID when everybody had to go remote. As soon as you're like, oh, you're not going to use the roads and infrastructure in Massachusetts, well, you still owe us money for that, because, like, bro, the internet exists. And that was a strategy for them to, like, levy a lawsuit against the state of New Hampshire, which is really just the residents, people that work online. There's no lack of interstate, you know, sniping or that type of thing that's going on. And to people that are like, oh, as soon as New Hampshire tries to secede, they'll just start bombing or droning you. We go back to Carly's example of, like, would you want to be with a partner that would drone or bomb you if you decided to leave?
Of police officers.
That's, well, hey, I wasn't going to go down that road, but hey, what are you going to do? But it's an interesting thing that these are ideas to me. When I look at it, I go, well, I would never be with a person that would just kill someone that wanted to not be around me or participate in my game. Like, that's such an interesting framework. And that's where I love, Carla, you just mentioned it, independence, or a different word, that secession. It, for some reason, especially with, like, some of the people we saw in the documentary, that word carries weight, that they cannot disseminate that idea and they can't disassociate slavery, the South, the Confederacy, the Civil War with secession. It's such a fascinating thing that I've never understood. So, you know,
this is a great question. Would independence allow people to retain their U.S. citizenship while living in independent New Hampshire? I can't imagine why not, other than if the U.S. government said they would not grant dual citizenship.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if you're looking at a peaceful path, that would make perfect sense to me to say, oh, we can, you could have dual citizenship. You could be a New Hampshire citizen. The other thing, two things. One is, I forgot to mention, there's also the 75 Club. And this is a push by Steve Vallee, also on the independence side. He did a program. He's a very smart, like Mensa smart numbers guy. And so he made a video that is supposed to appeal specifically to people who make $75,000 and more. And it's an economic argument why they should move to New Hampshire for all the tax benefits that we find here already. So it's sort of a wealth protection program. And then as part of this, you're actually coming to support independence long term, done constitutionally through an actual congressional thing through DC, so not from the state side. So a little bit of it also nuanced other flavors. So lots of people have different ideas about how this can happen. And those are the conversations we should have. But we shouldn't say, hey, you're not even allowed to have that conversation, because that's how bad things happen. Like, I would much rather she, you know, Karen was using words like darkness and whatever. And I'm like, I don't know how to be more in the light than like, oh my God, write op-eds, go to the state house, introduce bills, ask people to vote on it. How is that secret?
It's probably literally doing everything she can to get in the public eye.
Yeah, we're really loud sometimes. Like,
and you know, and yeah, so.
Anybody who says we're hiding just hasn't met Carla.
It's, but any of us, like, come and talk to us. Come down and meet me. Like, I'm a giant human being, but I'm kind of like Shrek. You know what I mean? Like,
it's layers.
Yeah, well, that's true. But,
you know, so we did that meetup with and the NBC crew who did the documentary at St. Anselm's maybe like a month ago. And some of the, you know, this Karen lady was there, and she had, you know, she had expressed that she felt really fearful. And I thought, I just recently heard Elon say something about, you know, you can approach life from two perspectives. You can, you know, you're either going through life looking at it through love or through fear, right? And so for me, I'm actually coming to this issue from love, right? Like, I think the wars are really bad, and I can't find a different way to stop DC from doing it. I think, you know, it's not going to happen, and I don't want my money to go to that. So I'm actually coming at secession purely, not purely, but firstly from a non-aggression, anti-war perspective, right? So I'm coming at it from love, love for my neighbors, love for my own life, to make life better. I don't want people to be scared of this idea, but she has this notion, and I think so many people are carrying so much fear in their hearts. And so she's like, this is so scary. And, you know, she said she got a police escort because she felt harassed because, you know, and I was like, wow, you know, because people are probably mean to her on the internet. People are mean to me on the internet too. And I thought, you know, bad things have happened to me too, but it would never occur to me like, oh, I should get police protection.
Yeah.
Right. And so, no, and I just thought maybe crazy. It's that different perspective where if you're scared of everything, this idea sounds scary, but if you just breathe and just go, okay, it's just an idea. It's literally, right. We're just talking about an idea. And if like, I can't persuade you, chill out. It's okay, right? Don't be scared of ideas.
Man, a police escort. That's wild. I bring my toddler around all y'all. Like, I feel like he's in the safest place he could be sometimes, where I'm like, oh, I hope it goes down. Like, this is, what do you talk? That's strange to me. And again, you know what? Maybe you're right. It is framing. It's viewing things in a way that's just very different from how I see the world. Which is, hey, I worked with kids. I see the world through like love and help and like doing a good thing. But yeah, it could be a really, oh, I'm going to be up late now thinking about that for a while. Shouldn't have triggered my autism. So.
Okay. I'll send you on another mission.
That's good. Yeah.
Did you research what happened in Scandinavia with the countries?
There's enough to go around. I stay up too late reading about obscure, strange things.
No, genuinely, what we should all be doing is getting way more sleep, which is exactly what I plan to go do.
Oh, man. I'm terrible at that.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's your brain doesn't work right after a while. It really just doesn't.
It is true. Especially with all the stuff we get up to, man.
Next week, we have the fun episode, the real fun one, Croydon.
Oh, are we getting the Underwoods on?
We can ask. I haven't reached out yet.
Okay.
So, we'll also, see. Audience and you guys, do we want to do both part one and two together or split it up into 2 weeks?
It's up to my wife for me, but it probably can do both at the same time. Doesn't matter.
I know Carla just told us we need to get more sleep. So
that is true.
My preference would be two, yeah. But you know, I can roll. I can do it. I will drink a coffee at noon or something. I'll take a nap.
Ooh, hardcore.
Yeah. Little disco nap around 5 p.m.
Oh, that's good.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks for watching. Again, another great episode, fun episode. And thankfully, it didn't turn out all that great for Karen. So, but if you guys want to learn more about the Free State Project and what we are doing, just head over to fsp.org. If you're not here and you need to plan your visit, get in touch. Chris and Rebecca can help you make that happen. Great crew. And best time to plan your visit coming up around the corner. You have Porkfest. Go get your tickets. Almost sold out. And while you're visiting, while you're here, add an extra week on. A couple of days on each side. Visit the rest of the state. Meet your neighbors and check out the calendar. Kevin will tell you. You'll burn out.
Yeah.
You try to do it all. I think that'll be a fun movie idea. We should do a mini movie.
I'm gonna
try to do every event for 1 week and see how.
I'll do it again, especially if you want to film it. I'm a sucker for attention, so all right, challenge accepted.
And you can join Kevin's Discord.
That's it. Hop in the Discord. We sang happy birthday to Lamp today, so there you go. If you want me and Job Destroyer to sing you a personalized happy birthday with two awkward men singing to you on the internet, hop on in. Diomedes, I know you're watching this right now. I'm going to find out what your birthday is, and we're going to sing to you. I don't know how, but I will now sing to you after your statement, so. Jump in the Discord. It's chaos and anarchy.
And if you guys want to support the mission of the Free State Project and the work being done here in New Hampshire, even if you're abroad and haven't made your move yet, remember the Free State Project is a 501c3 charitable nonprofit, and your donations are tax deductible. So head on over to fsp.org/give, and you can make a contribution and keep it out of the hands of Uncle Sam. Carla, Bill, Kevin, anything else?
That's it from me.
Come see me at Porkfest. I'm getting ready. I'm excited.
All right. Well, until next time, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Stay free.
Bye. Peace out.
I don't believe in destiny, I just do what's best for me. Don't listen to my enemies, they're just full of jealousy. Yeah, this legacy, you gon' see what's left of me. You gon' see success in me, you ain't seen the rest of me. I just wanna be the best at what I know. Better than the rest, just watch me grow. Put me to the test and watch me go. This is my quest, I'ma make it known. They call me obsessive, oh I know. Call me selective with my notes. Call me aggressive with my flow. Call me offensive, even